Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is season 8, episode 9. And if you would like to watch our Patreon-only exclusive The Last of Us recaps each and every week and movies that you submit for us to watch and talk about, just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. And it's all right there. You can like and rate and review us on Spotify and on iTunes and on YouTube. Make sure that you're liking, subscribing, all the stuff that you got to do. If you would like to become a producer at the $25 level, you will get yourself a DFT. That's like an NFT, but it's not anything at all like an NFT. I will give you a printout of a drawing that I've done. It's called A Doodle from Tim. You get stickers, you get a t-shirt from our t-shirt store, and then you get a weekly shout out like Terry Fuller, Chris Chandler, Roby Neely, Tim Slayton, Mike D, Matt Carter. Those are our top level producers right now. And yeah, it's pretty friggin' awesome. Listen, radiolabyrinth.com is up. You can go there and check out all the, you can watch the show there, listen to the show there. And of course, on our Patreon page, you can comment and say things that you like, no matter what level you belong to. Last week's podcast is available as a podcast. And that, of course, featured Jake the Snake Roberts and my good friend Greg Russ, which ended up just being us talking about wrestling. So it's an hour of us talking about wrestling. When you take out,
it was like 30 minutes of you guys talking to the snake, though. That was kind of weird.
Yeah, but we speak heart to mouth. But okay, we got everything. We got all the housekeeping taken care of because we have a guest.
Ooh, who is it?
Here he comes.
Here he comes. Oh my God.
Look at this. Jeez.
Holy. Oh my goodness. Hello. You like my shirt that I wore?
I do. That, you know, I appreciate that. I spent 13 years over there. I don't know how many you did it.
Doesn't it feel like you spent more than 13 years there?
Yeah, it does.
This is actually the first conversation you and I have had since September of 2015.
Yes, you and I have not talked.
Texted or maybe emailed or everything.
Yeah. You sent me a nice apology, and I said to myself, kiss my ass. And then over time, I've been like, you know what? I think we've all grown a little bit. We both had kids. Nope. I've always liked your wife. I've always fancied her as far as her news abilities. And I'm like, you know what? Timmy's hopefully come a long way. And
we can thank Buck Lanford for that.
Really?
Yeah, he's the guy I asked if she was dating anybody, and he goes, I don't think so.
Look at Buck. God bless him. That cheeseburger-eating son of a bitch. Yeah, I love Buck. Buck and I have been buddies for a while. He was in the wedding of Brian Greathouse, and I met him through him, and he did a lot of our golf stuff. So I've been around Buck for a minute, you know, when he started, when Jeff Hullinger was still there. So.
Right. And by the way, this is going to be a very Atlanta-centric episode of Radio Labyrinth, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Steve and I worked together for a long time, off and on, starting in 2000 when I was a promotions director for 96 Rock. That ended in 2004, and then again in 2006 we worked for a short while before the regular guys got fired again. And then 2008 to 2015 at Rock 100.5. And right now, I figured it would be a good time to get you because you're in between jobs. I'm pretty sure that you aren't going to remain unemployed. I know you probably can't say yet, but I'm sure that we have an announcement pending as to where you're going to be.
Well, I'll be honest with you. No.
No?
No. I'm talking to three radio stations. I have a standing offer with one.
Uh-huh.
But the other two, one, you know, do you remember when you and I did a radio tryout? Do you remember that when we were both like, I'm getting away from the regular guys?
Yeah, with George and it was Scott Farrell.
Scott Farrell, voice of the Thrashers at the time, and Hack Mess.
That's right.
And you and I snuck into that building. We had to wear hoodies. Nobody knew that we were there, and we did a tryout.
Right.
So that station, and then there's another sports station, but the sports station I've already done a tryout to, and it went fantastic. Now I'm up the corporate ladder, and it's just a difference of money. There's an offer, right, and then there's what I want, and we got to meet somewhere.
Right.
It's the way it is, you know. But you know, right now is a strange time in radio, you know. But to me, being in Georgia, and I don't know who on the panel is from Georgia. I wore my Georgia shirt, you know, with an arrow through Atlanta because I'm a native native Atlantan. My parents are native Atlantans, and I come from a long line, you know, of history. My version of the Rickmans is we became dirt farmers, but. Dr. William Rickman, who started us off in this country in the 1700s, appointed by George Washington, the very first Surgeon General of America, Dr. William Rickman. So we were rich once, and then we just fell, and we fell. And then I grew up in an above-ground pool situation, whereas my wife is all country club.
Yeah.
So, but when you look at all of that, you know, being in Atlanta, my point was when you work in Atlanta, my salary for 30 years on air has grown in this city. It's not like I'm coming in from LA or New York going, I want this. I'm like, right. I've made it here. So this is what I was making at this station. This is what I want to make at the next station. And it's the same. I just want to make my same salary. And I think with what I bring with about five or six endorsements, that's doable. And so I'm sitting right now in purgatory. I've been released from a 90-day non-compete with one station. The other two I've not been released. My release date is April 1st.
All right. You know, that what sucks is you got 90 days. They enforced a six-month non-compete on me on an expired contract. And that contract had been expired for 4 years because they were worried that Eric and I were going to go be the morning show on the river. And that was completely not what we were doing. We just slowly chipping away at Herman Cain. May he rest in peace. Herman Cain.
Hey,
Daniel.
I love Herman. I love Herman.
I loved working with him.
Oh, my God. No, Herman's a great guy. I loved any time I was around him and having conversations with him, and loved him. Yeah, rest in peace. God bless.
Sometimes I would fill in and as his producer when Shaney B was on vacation, and I would pull all the stories for him and cut all this audio, and then I'd talk to him on the phone and go, Tim, I know you care about all this. I know you like it, but it's too much goddamn audio. I don't need all that shit. You like Shaney B. But he was a cool dude. You know what? He was very generous, too. He was very, very much involved in all the charity stuff that we did. But Steph, I stepped on you. You were going to ask a question.
I was not.
We're not. Where are you? Who are you? You're the only chick on the show, so, you know.
We know each other, Steve, just barely. Because I was on the show. I was on the Regular Guys twice. Remember the big boob challenge?
Yes. So you have large breasts.
That was me. I won the first week, and then Larry destroyed me the second week.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was me. Yeah. I was so excited to meet you, because, like...
Well, can you stand up or pan down? I'd like
to. No, I don't. That was,
Steph, take your top off.
Years ago, Steve, things are not where they were at that point. They're lower now. So,
now, Tim and I made a living apologizing for that guy. God bless. As talented as he is, dysfunctional. So I apologize and, you know, sorry. But I see that Tim has a lot of different people, and I've definitely heard of the Labyrinth. I'm happy for Tim. Tim is we all know, a natural broadcaster, a great voice guy, too. So, you know, and I listened every day when I got off of the morning show. I would listen to you guys on the way home. And, I liked where Eric was coming from 90% of the time. Every once in a while, I was like, yay. But most of the time.
Was that when Jared was talking? Jared Yamamoto?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that dude, he's not on the show. Jared. I'm looking at names. Jared's not on the show, though. So, but yeah, I listened to Jared, and I'm like, okay, he's different. He's the only dude I don't know on the show. Everybody that Eric has outside of you was like former interns or part-timers or whatever. He collected these people and paid for these people and ran a podcast and then put them all on the air, and it's brilliant. I'm so excited for all of you. I think it's great.
Yeah, he's really, once they got that deal and I knew they were doing an hourly show, this goes back. And guys, interrupt me if you want to ask questions, because it's not just about me. But again, he and I haven't spoken in forever. I had to do a little bit of an apology tour. I think it started in about 2000 or 2013. I started slowly losing my mind because my pay kept getting cut. and my responsibility stayed the same.
And by the way, unbeknownst to me, that is something that you must have kept close to the vest, and I hate to hear that, Tim.
I talked to the one boss that I still talk to that I always liked. You know, he could only do so much. But anyway, I still talk to him because, you know, we always get along. But kept getting cut. And then when Eric got cut, all the money flowed into one direction and it didn't trickle down, which is funny for people who believe in trickle down economics. They don't practice it. But I'm not, you know, I mean, I've gone over all this shit before.
Tim, are you a Republican now? It sounds like you are. Welcome.
Well, I had fun during the Trump years. Let's just say that.
Yeah, come on.
And went a little crazy in 2020. I got bit by the QAnon bug for about 2 minutes. But anyway, And then the last year, they were chipping away. You know how it is. And again, I've talked about it before, but I slowly started losing my mind, bugging him every day at the coffee machine. What's going to happen? And then
I did know 2 weeks out that, and I told you, which is a no-no in radio. I'm like, Larry's gone.
I was so sad about it. I couldn't hang out with Stuttering John from the Stern Show that night when he did his awful stand-up comedy show at the Punchline. He texted me. I left early. We're going to hang out.
No, I don't want to hang out with somebody that stutters and accidentally spits in my face when he tries to talk. No. That's horrible. For anybody out there that stutters, I apologize.
So 2015 rolls around, and I got to tell you, no secret, I didn't really like your new radio partner. I am, for a number of reasons, and he didn't like me, and that was very evident. And
he ended up not liking me either, so it's okay.
Well, it came to an acrimonious end, but everything had a happy ending. And
I would love to tell the story. We're in with a radio... What do you call those guys that tell us how to talk on the air?
He's a talent coach.
That's it. A talent coach.
By the way, we make fun of these people on the Von Hessler Doctrine. We have Clive Cliverson, who's the consultant. Jeff Jeffries, who is the... We got rid of him, but...
Great name.
He was based on, the guy with curly hair who, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. I know exactly who you're talking
Radio
about.
Consultants are all pretty much cut from the same cloth. Not all of them, but most of them.
No, and there's like two that I've liked. God knows I've had to talk to a few, and I love having a coach, you know? Yes. And it's like, if you're not coachable, then you're a problem, so you got to listen to these guys. It's right. Not as bad as Morning Show Boot Camp, which is the biggest joke in the world. Let's call it what it is. It's like great for people in their fourth year for radio, but it's for people that are trying to network because they know they're a-holes and they need contacts because they're going to have to move around. When we're in there, the guy goes to Tim because Tim's our producer for this show, and they're naming the show. And of course, Bailey, I'd never heard mic one, mic two, mic three ever in my life. Even working with the regular guys, I'd never heard it. And he goes, look, I'm a mic one, and you're a mic two, and mic one's name always come first. And I'm like, have you heard of Buck and Kincaid? Because Buck's a mic two, and his name comes first. And Southside and Rhodes, back in the day, Tim Rhodes was definitely, you know, introing us in and out. And I'm like, no. And he's like, well, my name has to be first. And I'm like, whatever. My ego's not that big. And then they're talking to us about our show, and they're like, Tim, what's the problem? You don't seem to be enjoying your position. And Tim's like, no, I don't want to be producer. And they goes, well, why did you take the job? And Tim goes, because it was for more money. I fell out. You talk about career suicide. I was like, that's awesome. What you just did was so stupid, but I love that. I respected you for it. You went, no, dude, I don't want to do this crap. I just want more money.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was brilliant. It was brilliant.
Well, it worked.
It did. They cut you within a week.
I know they did. And in the meeting where they cut me, the GM over there, whatever the hell his name is, goes, well, you can go do whatever you want. I'm like, okay. And then, not even a
week. No non-compete.
That's what he said. So I do the Sunday show with Eric. They had no idea I was going to go do that. And then immediately they, you know, that the program director, that nutty guy, he called me up. He goes, they're going to enforce this. You can't do this shit. And I'm like, hey, do whatever the fuck they want. I don't give a shit. And I just did the podcast with him. And, you know, I ended up working at a Mazza pizza because there was a the girl that used to do our hair at this place in Dunwoody was working at what this restaurant, and you remember her. She used to cut her hair at the Allen's. She was working at this place, and she goes,
"You're talking about Karen."
Yes, Karen.
And I don't mean that in the term that y'all think.
No. She's the opposite of Karen. But
yeah, she's not that at all.
She texted me and said, "These guys here don't believe that I know you." And so I got on the phone, and I know I texted back, "Well, tell them I need a job." And they're like, "What?" And so I ended up working at this pizza place, which was a lot of fun. And I was working there.
You worked in a hair salon, too.
After that, I worked at a hair salon.
I saw you sweeping up hair. I go, "What in the hell?" At that point, I was like, I almost called you because I love Tim. And like when I had furniture and stuff, you know, and extra stuff, and I'm going from, you know, a loft in Atlanta, and then I'm having to move out where I am now in Milton. And I'm like, I'm like getting my wife pregnant. And I'm like, I've never, ever on purpose done that inside a girl. And I'm like, I'm trying to get pregnant. I can't believe this shit. But I gave Tim, you know, always had a soft spot for Tim. And, you know, and I was like, God dang, when I saw that, I was like, what the hell? But you looked happy, and I didn't know what was going on. You looked happy.
That place was cool. It was in Cabbage. It's still in the Cabbage Town, but it was in Cabbage Town. One day, you'll like this story. And guys, I'm sorry. We'll shut up, and you guys can ask questions. But one day, I got in, because I would open the store and check the voicemail and everything, and I heard, "Hey, it's Ron White," and I was looking through Google, and I said, "Hey, where can I get the best men's haircut in town?"
Yeah.
Your place came up, so call me here. So I immediately texted, you know, his manager, and I said, "Hey, is this real?" And he ended up coming down there.
That's awesome.
He goes, "You're not washing my hair." He got there early, so he went down to Milltown Tavern. You know where that is, right down the street.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to get him when his stylist was ready, and CeCe goes, "Go get Ron, tell him I'm ready." I walked down there, and I go, "You're ready?" And he goes, "They weren't kidding when they called this place a tavern. Hang on before we go down there." And it was raining, a thunderstorm. He puts his umbrella up, takes a joint out, inhales the joint, two-thirds of it. By the time we get to the barbershop, and we're talking maybe 100 feet, and he goes, "Here, finish this." So I took one hit off of it, and I was out of it. I mean, that's the quality of Ron White weed.
Oh, no. I used to go to Ron's house, and he would, like, pick out your own. I go, "Ron, I don't know." And I made the mistake of smoking Purple Haze. I was like, holy shit. I said, "Ron, I'm a Blue Moon smoker, and you just floored me." So then he would write those to, like, "Hey, Southside's calling in," you know, to the regular guys. You know, he goes, "Here's a written excuse letter." And damn it, if I didn't throw it both times, I was like, there's no way I can work. I mean, I've gone in drunk. I can drive drunk, which you're not supposed to say, no. But I can't. And, but hi, the stuff Ron had, I was like, dude, I am not here. I don't know where I am, but I am not here. And then Ron would come down to my bar when I had Southside Steve's, and he loved my bologna sandwiches, dude. And he would pull through. He probably came in about 10 times, hooked up with a few of my waitresses. I was like, I don't do that, please. But I love the man for everything. He's been so good to me. You know, when he did his last performance at the Fox here in Atlanta, he and I, of course, was working with Axel on Rock 100.5. We had been relegated to afternoons because they wanted to kill the radio station. You did it when you pulled me off mornings. Okay.
Hey, the first time I listened was when you were with him, though. Just there.
Real quick, while we're at this point, did they tell you anything about 99X coming back when they let you go?
No, they didn't. They kept it. All I was told was, you don't fit the format. And I will tell you, and I'm not trying to be unprofessional, and you know, you don't want to burn bridges, and radio's funky that way. And I've been a good citizen, and because I love people at that radio station, there's even sales reps. I know clients that have already quit, and they're like, where are you going? We're going with you. You know, and I've got, you know, so I'm walking with over $500,000. I can say that, you know, and it may be even more, but I'm giving a realistic number. And, you know, it's all about relationships. And that's the part they don't get. I'm like, dude, I've known these people for 10, 15 years. I know their family. I don't just cut commercials. There are people, and Tim will be the first to testify, that don't put their heart and soul into radio. I do. I don't represent anybody unless I think they're the best at what they do, because I'm out I'm around people, and I never want a listener to come up to me and say I got ripped off by somebody you endorsed. I don't want a listener to come up to me and say they're not the best jeweler. They're not the best when it comes to hair transplants. They're not the best when it comes to whatever. I endorse the best. Otherwise, I don't do it. I turned down Pepsi, and everybody thought I was nuts. I go, man, I live in Atlanta. It's Coca-Cola, okay? I'll endorse Mountain Dew because I drank that crap, but I'm not endorsing Pepsi, no way in hell.
You are the best endorser in this market, and no one can top it. I mean, and I work with people who are good endorsers. Dave Baker, amazing endorser, and you know, Belinda, she does really.
I've never met her, Belinda Skelton. Never met that one.
She's a nice person. She's a sweet person, but she gives her all for her clients. But you go to the clients. You talk to them. I think maybe, hey, Steve, why don't you get Mike to throw me a bone over? I hear it's my brother. You know who I'm talking about. Maybe we'll
see. I do.
Yeah. I want to say, I can drive drunk would be a good tagline for your bourbon.
You know what? I dig that, Stephanie. I don't know if I get in trouble for that in this world right now till the pendulum goes the other direction. Because Tim and I come from topless intern zone. I don't know if you've ever talked about it. We had topless interns for like almost three years.
Yeah.
You know, and did radio need to go that far? Probably not. Were we all into it? No, but you can't offend me for 19 years when I'm working at the Pink Pony for Gilardi. And I'm doing gigs. It just didn't matter to me. I treated that the same as I would doing a McDonald's gig. It didn't bother me, but you're naked. So what? There's no way I'm dating you because I'm not dating crazy. I'm not having sex with you because I don't want bumps, lumps, or whatever comes with you. No offense. I know there's two or three girls that are there for the right intentions that are pure as the driven snow. They're beautiful and they're putting themselves through college, but I don't know which ones you are. So I'm not taking a chance, you know, but it's just one of those things that, you know, you just treat people right. I don't judge anybody. And I represent whoever I think is the best. And to me, Pink Pony was the best strip club, not Cheetah, but Pink Pony.
You bring that up, Steve. Let me ask you something, because I had a friend recently who did a family night out to Magic City. And she was her son, her husband, the sister-in-law, they all went. And she was so disappointed because she said they did nothing. I was expecting some showmanship. All they did was shake their ass. There was nothing else to be had. So, and I had asked these guys, I've never been to a lot of strip clubs, but was it like the Motley Crue videos? Did they really come out and put on a show, or has it just always been like that?
Where you
just
tell plenty of nothing? No. You're spot on. Tattletales is classic. I've done a lot of gigs there too, but I was loyal to Gilardi, but I would do Tattletales. You know, Gilardi had 4 strip clubs at the time. Now he only has 2. Gold Rush and Pink Pony, and Pink Pony South is gone, and so is Crazy Horse. But you look at these different clubs, and yeah, it was real. Tattletales was spot on, and it was rock star. And I don't know what's I lived literally 2 blocks from Magic City for 15 years. I never went in there, but when I owned my bar, I had a Magic City shot, and it was Jaeger with Golden Slager. So.
I've done that before, but that was when I was in college. When that stuff first came out, I would do shots of a Golden Schlager, Rumpel Mints, all that awful stuff.
But Rumpel Mints is good, Tim. That's when, you know, Tim told me the best story. I don't know if he's ever told it. He was on a date one night and he threw up at the table, which is classic, Tim. And he's still there with him, like, this date's still going, right? Just because I threw up on the floor, we're still rocking. But Rumpel Mints, if you throw up with a date or you have bad breath and you didn't brush your teeth, Rumpel Mints is the perfect drink.
Covers it right up.
Inti puke. So you ended up staying at the station. You guys did your show, and I don't know what happened to it because I didn't really follow it. But
no, it's all good.
Your board op, she ended up leaving, and I don't know what happened there. Shoplifting at Walmart or something. This is a funny story.
Yes. Yes. And I met a police officer.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. You know, and Bailey goes on air saying, and I'm hearing the story for these are 2 secrets he kept from me. And this is why, you know, and again, he's not even worth my breath to call him whatever I think he is. I wrote him off. I don't think about him. I don't care about him. He could get hit by a car tomorrow.
Atlanta's
I don't care.
Same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. He could die tomorrow or he could make $10 million. Either way, I don't care. I'm not jealous of him. He doesn't exist to me anymore because of who he is and what he's about. So, you know, when you look at the situation, I was in the dark. Our producer's moving to Mexico. I'm like, all right, nobody's going that way. Everybody's coming this way. So the fact you're going there shocks me. And I find out literally 2 months out, he's moving to Mexico. So corporate, it has nothing to do with anybody on the show, says, oh, there's no way we're letting a dude do a show from another country. They're worried about, you know, infiltration of our internet, you know. And then I find out from the individual at hand, you know, who's my other half on the show, that he doesn't even want a producer working there. Is he saying this to him? I don't think so. But even he has told management he doesn't want them. This is a guy that basically goes to management on a daily basis, emails management, and points the finger at everybody but himself. And it's all about him. He thinks he's the smartest person in the room, which is self-destructive. It's the same
especially
thing.
When you're not.
It's no. Yeah, exactly. And you look at Larry, and radio has, and they're filtering out, they have the narcissistic, lack of confidence show host. He's one. Larry was one, and there's brilliance to these individuals, but they just have no confidence, and therefore they're just effed up. And
yeah,
they have, you know, we're all effed up a little bit.
I'm effed radio. Up. I will say this though, in defense of Larry, and I know he gets a bad rap a lot of times, and you know, deservedly for some things, and I think he would even admit that. But he did know a little bit more about what the audience wanted, and he didn't like to do fake things.
No, he wanted it real. So real that he put my life on the line. I'm lucky to be here. I've been attacked by homeless people.
Yeah.
Horrible things have happened to me. I've almost died twice doing audio at 2 a.m. on streets where everybody's on crack but me.
You and Seabass.
Yeah, me and Seabass. I mean, we put our lives on the line. There's no doubt about it.
That's what I wanted to ask you whenever he said that crap about Mike 1, Mike 2.
Oh,
I, yeah. Why? How you
I hate that kind of talk.
But how you didn't say to him, have you ever went to a mostly black movie theater and stood up and told everybody to be quiet before the show? You ever done that? No.
I'm Mike One. Exactly. You're right. Thank you for that Greenbrier Mall Magic City story that I had the nerve. And I'm not going to lie to you, the intern, who I think, I don't know what his background was, but he was Italian. He told me he might or might not be related to mafia type people, and he drove a sedan. I'm like, dude, you're the perfect guy to take me there. And that guy had the car running, door open. And when I said that crap and shocked an audience and they all stood up, I think I had 20 people ready to kill me. Full sprint out of Magic City. I dove into that car and never looked back. But yeah, I did that. You're right. And I appreciate you knowing that, Stephanie. You know, and you look at those type of stunts and things that we did, you know, and it's incredible. So when you got a guy saying Mike 1, Mike 2, those kind of people need to go in radio. They just do. It's old school. It's 90s radio. We're not there. Even if the pendulum goes back, I don't want to do 90s radio.
It won't. Don't worry.
I don't think so. Yeah, I agree with you, Tim. I don't think it will. But when you talk to these individuals and you know what the kind of show and everything, what we're doing, but when you got a guy that's moving to Mexico and you got to, and he tells the story on the radio that the registers were down and that Brittany needed cat food, you know, and that she wanted to leave. Then I find out from the cop, no, it was makeup. And that was so high. And let me tell you, there's a certain amount where Walmart goes, we're going to slap your wrist or we're calling the cops. And she was over the level where they called the cops. And you got put in jail, and it was horrible. Now, do I think she needed to be fired? Hell no. Radio's
no.
Perfect for that. We would have teased her for the rest of her life. I even
said,
yes, I never would have gone to the bathroom without taking my wallet with me.
Yeah.
And I would have had fun with that. I don't think she should have been fired. She was a total workhorse. I don't know what came over her or what, and I've not talked to her since. And that's the other thing, you kind of figure out in radio, and this is one reason why I want to do the Labyrinth and do this podcast, is because I feel like, Tim, we've been through enough. there's we've done some incredible nice things for each other. I'm happy you're a father. I'm happy you're married and you have a son. And I was like, life's too short, so I wanted to reunite with you. But there are people that you look at and go, I was on a show because management put me there, and this person is gone, and they're dead to me because it doesn't matter. And you can tell afterwards because there's no calls, there's no nothing. So all of those individuals are dead to me, and they weren't good people. And the one guy, the producer, I was going to let him help me, and all of a sudden he cuts me off. And I know why, because the guy he's working with told him to cut me off, and he did it. And he was, and he dropped the ball, and I was going to pay him to help me with my website in Mexico. And I was like, you just look and you're like, okay, you're just this type of person. And I swear to God, it's Florida. I don't know if any of y'all are from Florida. I will not work with anybody from effing Florida. I love Florida, but you people, they're horrible.
I need to come down to Mar-a-Lago and do a remote with your bourbon. I think it's great. It's fantastic. Come on down.
For you, I will, sir. Yes.
Okay. Well, he's from New York, so I guess that's fine.
Well, can you introduce these people to me? I just want to know who all these people. I know everybody that follows Labyrinth, but I
don't know Jeff. You know Jeff.
Well, I know Jeff, and I know Stephanie now.
Dustin, tell them who you are.
I'm Dustin Lawler. I started out as a fan of the podcast. As soon as the pandemic started, he was like, "Hey, we're going to go on put these on video," and I was like, "You're going to put that on YouTube. I would love to make it look better." So he was like, "Hey, man, have at it." And here I am still.
Good job. If you want to work part-time, the Yet Come On podcast, I can use you.
You're trying to poach our talent.
Oh, teasing. I'm teasing. I'm not stealing. I'm not. No, but it was a pleasure to be on, you know, and I'm enjoying this. And again, Tim, I just want to give you a toast of a little legend, Yet Come On Bourbon Whiskey. And I heard when you came out there, I know that your morning, or what is it, a midday show? I can't call it a morning show.
It's mid-morning chat show is what Eric says.
I like it. But I know you guys have been out to Legends, and I know you guys.
That place is awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all going out there. And anything I can do to help you guys, and that's that, you know, I don't talk to Eric. I wanted Eric on my podcast, and he was like, management, I don't know. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to talk about anything other than what's up, you know.
Well, the cool thing about these podcasts is they're not affiliated with the radio stations.
No.
So
I can talk to you and I can't talk to anybody else.
I asked last year, it was early on, I said I'd like to have Southside Steve come on. This is way before you know the station flipped and you were like, oh, I said I want to have him come on, and they said, well, you just can't promote it on the air. And I'm like, okay, I don't care. I mean, I just wanted to let you, as a courtesy, I'm letting you know that I want to do this. And we've interviewed other people. We've had Pete on, right, a couple times. Pete Davis.
Mm-hmm. Love Pete Davis.
We had Larry on. Steph,
I've had Larry on twice. Yeah, the Yeah Come On podcast is no stranger to Larry Wax. The guy's
brilliant. First one was hard. Not like it wasn't good. It was hard at first because it was, you had barrels out.
I did. I just told him, I said, you're a dick. You're a dick. And he is. He's a dick. He can't help himself. And then I look, the only reason I give Larry any kind of chance is because Sandra Golden is rock star. I have always loved Sandra. She's normal. She's cool. She's a hot chick that knows sports. I dig it. And I'm like, all right, the fact she married you means there's something there. I don't know what, but because of Sandra, I will talk to Larry.
I got to say that all things aside, in all the years we worked and all the craziness, there is a goodness deep inside of him, and it shows, and he is a good person. So I don't want people thinking, oh, Tim and Steve hate him, he's an ass. He has a heart. And I mean, I've talked to him quite a bit after the whole, all those years. It took a while, but we talk and had fun. I was on his podcast when he did the review and all that. So
no, but you know what? There's work. There's some people, the way they handle it, you know, and I even talked to him on the podcast. He's like, we should do a podcast. And already he was taking it over and taking.
Oh, yeah. That's his nature. I appreciate you saying that, because I feel like we're family that had a spat and we didn't talk for a couple of years, but you know, we go way back. You know, 2000 to me used to be last week, but it is a long fucking time ago.
No, it has gone fast. You're right, Tim. And you look at the room we sat in, and I'll tell you, not poking fingers at any show out there, but the greatest show ever in the history of Atlanta, in my opinion, was the version with Larry, Eric, Tim Andrews, Southside Steve, and Seabass.
Yeah, that was some good stuff.
And Mark Owens running the board.
Mark Owens, absolutely.
That, you know, and I love Mark. That was a moment in time where we could have been syndicated. We could have been a reality show because literally there were people in the room that hated each other. But it was just a moment. And to me, I look back at my career and I'm like, wow. The most fun I've ever had was working with Axel the last year of my time at Rock 100.5. And the 99X thing, I don't know that you can catch lightning in a bottle a second time. I don't think you can.
No,
I'll be the first to go ahead and tell you my honest opinion on it, and I'll address it just because I know there's people out there probably wonder what I think. I give it a year. I thought back in the day, the greatest morning show, the talent was on 96 Rock, and the music was on 99X.
Agreed.
I think Axel was better than Alan Ayo, who I think was a God-given talent himself, but I just dug Axel's flow. In a room by himself. Outside of that, we beat them in every day part. They, you know, but we were playing Candle in the Wind by Elton John. How do you beat that? How do you beat when you got Gavin Rosdell coming in from Bush when they're on fire on 99X? All they wore, and I'll say it, they were great interviewers, but any of us could have done those interviews. They had the greatest talent in the music for 10 years coming in their studio, which made them cool, but they did not have the talent of the regular guys. No way. And that's why I'm not there, because of the things that were said. The individual that had the decision making did not like me and is holding me accountable for things I said from 97 to 2003, ripping that morning show's ass. Because what the world was at the time, they weren't nice. They knifed our inflatable at Music Midtown and it fell on me and I smelled urine. They ripped down all of our banners when I was hosting wrestling at Gwinnett Arena, and I came out and it was all 99X and they ripped down and it was a rock event. There were a lot of things done that weren't nice, and it went back and forth. Radio was at war at that time, and to hold me accountable over playing the game and representing my station 20 years ago is crap.
Yeah,
I won't say the guy's name, but it's wrong, and that's why I'm not there and why I was dismissed.
That's awful.
Yeah, but you know, it is. You know, but it's okay. But here's the thing. 14 years at Rock 100.5. I love it. I've been a rock guy my whole life. The shirt you're wearing, I grew up listening to it. I had the tag on my car in high school. And I worked for 96 Rock for 12 years. I mean, I love rock. I will say that 96 Rock got blown out for Project 961. And Rock 100.5 got blown out for 99X again. It's like, it's hard to be a fan of alternative music. I'm just telling you, it's hard. I'm trying.
Well, there isn't any new alternative music, so I don't know what the alternative to alternative is. Alternative, I have no fucking clue. I'm sure these guys have questions. I've been dominant.
Go ahead. By the way, I want to say one more thing, Tim.
Yes.
You married a hot redhead, and you got a kid that is your damn doppelganger.
Yeah, yes.
I see the pictures, and I got the same thing in Brooks, my five-year-old. He is me 100%. You look at my baby pictures to his, you're like, which one's which? Other than the clothing, you can tell, because damn, I dress that boy nice. you know, but
Chess King is still open.
Chess King is. I love Chess King. Bring it back. I will wear that Battlestar Galactica jacket all over again. But no, my two-year-old is just, God, he's his damn.
Yeah, they're cute kids, man.
Oh, he's as cute as he is trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, mercy. But he's, you know, I got a fantastic wife that is 100% opposite of me that grounds me. Mm-hmm. And I'm a dreamer and she's a realist, which is why today I had to fill out all my unemployment shit. Because I was like, I'll get a job. I'm not going to collect. But now I'm collecting. So I filled out all my information. And by the way, if you're unemployed, that is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, no doubt. I've done it.
I hated it.
It's brutal. Brutal. Pandemic, best time to be unemployed because they just Olayed it. Now it's like, if I don't tell them I've talked to 3 radio stations in a week, I don't get a check. I'm like, good Lord. There's not that many radio stations that will hire Southside Steve in Atlanta. Come on.
Hey, I'm Southside Steve with Rock 100.5, and I'm joined with head blender from Legends, Tyler Sanderlin. And I've always wanted a bourbon whiskey. I couldn't be happier about this. It's all I've ever drank. Tyler, how did we get here?
Well, we started testing lots of different recipes, and what we finished with was what you wanted, was something sweet, but with a smoky finish. And the way we did that was we took our bourbon, traditionally aged it, and then took it out of the barrel and did a toasted oak finish from a medium to a heavy toast and had that perfect balance of sweetness and smoky finish.
Lots of taste tests, but here we are. Cheers to you and to us.
That's right.
Now that's Legends. Yeah, come on. Bourbon whiskey, smooth and a great smoky aftertaste.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, come on. Be sure to enjoy all of Legends' award-winning spirits. Go to spiritsusa.com to find the nearest location to you to purchase.
So if we buy some of the booze, that's not helping you out while you're between jabs?
It is helping me. I'll be honest. I'm transparent. I have a deal on pallets. Pallets. So there's 50 cases to a pallet. There's 12 bottles to a case, and I get a fee based on a pallet. And it's been a great year. We've gotten it out. Legends, which is located in Cumming, Georgia, is in over 830 locations. They've been in business for 3 years now. Yeah, Come On, which is Legends, Yeah, Come On Bourbon Whiskey, is now in about 130 locations. And we've sold about 12 pallets in 6-7 months. And I'm happy. Anybody, I will tell you this, and anybody that drinks it falls in love with it. And the reason is because I did 6 months of taste testing. I'm a Jack Daniels man. That's who I am. I got a Jack Daniels statue I'm staring at down the hall. When I owned my bar, half the bar was Jack Daniels. And for me, I said, unless it tastes better than Jack, I'm not doing it. I'm not putting my name on it. So we figured it out. And what I wanted was smooth and smoky. So it's a smooth taste. It doesn't burn you. You take a sip, you can talk a millisecond after you take it, and it has a smoky aftertaste. And there's almost a sweetness to it based on the barrels we're putting in. It almost has a hint of vanilla, and then it's smoky. And when you mix it with Coke, it's like Coca-Cola in the campfire. It doesn't get any better.
It's good. I don't like, I'm not a big liquor drinker, but I had a couple of them when I was out there, and it's smooth. It's not like,
No. And I'm drinking it straight.
I was going to ask you, do you get offended, like, for somebody like me that would put Sprite in it? Will you be like, it's an abomination?
I don't have that much class. I know, not at all. I think whatever tastes good. Matter of fact, the reason we did it, it's 80 proof. And I'll be honest with you, and Tim knows this, I didn't want something that costs $50, $60, $70. I live on a golf course. I'm fortunate, and I have a lot of white collar friends, but I grew up no collar, and I love no collar, blue collar. And that's who I am. And that's who's listened to me over the years. And that's who I'm loyal to 110%. So I said, I want the cost under $30, and I want to go after what I love the most, which is Black Label Jack. And I drank it with Coke because I didn't like the taste of it straight. I could drink single barrel Gentleman Jack, but that's a higher cost point. And then we have something called Quantum Purity, which we own that. And what we do is when we run it through, it takes out about 80% of the impurities. You don't get the rosy cheeks. You don't get the little bursted veins in your cheeks. And you don't get effing hangovers, which is fantastic. So you drink it straight, which is and we do that with our vodka. We do that with my bourbon and 2 other bourbons, and it's unbelievable. So mine tastes like a 5 or 7 year old, but it's only 2 years old. And basically that's why people drink it straight or on the rocks, but it was meant for Coca-Cola or whatever you mix it with. So I'm flattered. if you mix it with anything.
Okay. All right.
Flattered. Flattered. I love it.
We have a guest on our show every week. It's a little segment we do called Sly Talking. But he did a little video where Sly sampled the Yeah Come On Bourbon.
What? How you doing? That's me, Sly. I've been a little busy with Purple Rain, and for a little inspiration, I came here to this meat locker. I'm gonna, pound some hanging beef, and maybe, have a little fun, And, I've already come up with a good idea. I was thinking about who's gonna play the kid. And I've thrown some names out, Ed Sheeran, Justin Bieber, things like that. And, that came to me. Maybe the best person to play the kid is my brother Frank. And what we'll do is, we'll use that age-regressing computer stuff to make him young again, And that way, not only do I get, my brother in the movie, and I'll shut him up a little bit, but, I'll get a nice theme song out of it for free, So that's what I'm going to do. Some guy was running around trying to sell us some of this bourbon, It's a Yeah Come On Bourbon. And, it really should be Yo Come On. But you know what? Then I tasted it, and, I'm like, Yeah Come On. Where's the bourbon? And all I can say is, You're the disease, and I'm the cure. And don't let a match around it. Yep. You got Southpaw, South Philly, South Camden, Southside Steve. Yeah, come on. Where's the real bourbon? He's
misunderstood. What? So don't be offended by
it. I'm not offended. Yo, come on. I mean, I trademarked Yeah Come On. And I'm from the West End. I'm from Atlanta. Yo would have been cool. I just didn't think of it.
Well, it's Sly. Sly.
Mrs. Stallone.
I did, Mr. Stallone. Yo,
Steph had a great idea. We wanted to play a little trivia with you. And you don't win anything, but we get to have fun. Steph, tell Steve about it.
So we do this randomly from time to time. I like to put these little trivia games together. So I made one just for you. And we're going to call it For Some Trivia on Steve. Very 80s centric, very Def Leppard-ish.
Hey, that's my second favorite band behind Journey. I like it.
I know that. I was a fan of yours for many years.
Thank you.
The way we do it is I'm going to ask a question and I'll give you guys three choices. If you know the answer, say your name and then I'll call you and then you say the answer.
Now, let me get the BB gun.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, the worst, y'all don't realize I had to go get a tetanus shot because of Tim.
Because it is mine.
Yes, because Tim drew the best picture of Larry on my calf. And it was Larry. And he drew it once on my butt, too. And Larry shot himself. And it went in. And I had to pick a BB out of my leg. And when I did, blood just shot out.
Oh, gross.
I had to get a tetanus shot. But Tim would literally take a Sharpie and draw whatever I wanted. The voice guy and the artiste. Tim Andrews.
For sure. I do a lot more art now than I ever did before.
I've seen your art. Your best picture of me. Every picture, you've got two or three pictures you drew me, and I have them in your Burt Reynolds one. I have framed and hanging in the house. I love
it. The one that got you for Christmas. Yeah, that was Ben Bowling. Yeah, I one year for Christmas, I commissioned Ben Bowling.
Wow.
Artwork, and the one with Steve, the Smoking the Bandit. It's me and Steve, and I'm the fat snowman, and then Larry with John Rocker naked, awesome. and Eric with Kevin Kenny. So,
well, let's segue into that. You guys are talking about Burt Reynolds. That's my first question, as a matter of fact.
So who's all playing? We're playing against there.
So it's Jeff, Tim, and myself. Are you in too, Mr. Producer Man?
Yeah, I'm in.
Dustin, I'm just saying that so you get to say your name a bunch. I love you.
So again, I'm just going to say the question. I'll give you three choices. If you know the answer, say your name.
Do we have to wait until you give all the answers? Or the...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That makes it, you know, easier. Okay. All right. So Mr. Burt Reynolds, as you guys were just talking about, he had two very popular movies come out in 1981. Mm-hmm. Were they Smokey and the Bandit 2 and The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, or Stroker Ace and Best Friends, or Sharky's Machine and Cannonball Run?
Southside.
Mm. What is it?
Hey.
No.
No.
That was anybody else?
I was going to say A. C.
I thought A for sure. It's got to be C. It's got to be C.
Yeah.
Tim's right. Sharky's Machine and Cannonball Run both came out in 1981.
Dude, no. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say Sharky's Machine, when he pushes out, you know, the albino guy, the albino hitman. Yeah. He wasn't albino. I mean, I think they called him that in the movie. There's no reason I'm saying that. But he went out the window right here in Atlanta, out the Weston Peachtree.
Oh, well, hey, bonus question. Still redeem yourself. Bonus question. Who directed Sharky's Machine? If nobody knows, I'm going to go ahead and tell you.
I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Burt Reynolds.
Oh.
Dang. Look at Burt. Burt's directed. Burt's like, I'm going to be on the camera and behind the camera. You know what? I did the same thing as Burt in high school. I was on the annual staff only because I wanted to make sure I got cool pictures of me in the annual. It's the only reason I did.
So, by the way, disclaimer, if you're not from the South, an annual is a yearbook.
Okay. All right. What was the base MSRP price of a Pontiac Firebird Trans Am in 1983? Was it $8,999, $14,350, or $11,399?
Stop. $8,000.
No.
I'm going to say the 11,000 one.
Jeff got it. And it was a trick question, Southside, because the Pontiac Firebird base price was $8,999, but the Pontiac Firebird Trans Am, which was the souped-up version, the V8, that was $11,000.
See, and I rented one of those for prom, and I actually ended up owning an 82.5 Camaro because that's when the body style changed. And it was an 82.5, and I had a 4-speed, and it was that new sleeker body style. And I rented the Firebird for prom in 1983. Shoot!
All right, so far we got one for Tim, we got one for Jeff. All right, what band had more hits in the 1980s?
Charlie! Sorry.
Out of these three that I'm going to ask you, was it Cinderella, Warrant, or Quiet Riot?
Ooh.
Quiet Riot, 100%.
You didn't say it, but Southside got it.
Yeah.
Quiet Riot?
Yeah, if you know, Dustin, because Quiet Riot made the huge mistake, what killed their career is their lead singer literally said, "We're bigger than the Beatles," and that killed
him. Oh, okay. That was him. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so funny because the lead singer came in on 96 Rock with the regular guys, and would have been 98, 99, and he and the drummer, and they're both deceased now, and it was sad, you know? But I loved Quiet Riot. My favorite song in 83 was Come On, Feel the Noise.
What a great song.
What a great song. I mean, it's just awesome. They were so damn good. It's just, and he admitted it when he was on air with us, and that, like I said, in 98, he goes, "I made a huge mistake. They canceled us because I said."
I saw them on Night Tracks because we didn't have MTV. I had to watch videos on TBS.
I'm poor like you. I had Night Tracks too.
They didn't have MTV in our town because even when they did bring it in, they got rid of it for a year. Remember, Jeff?
Yeah,
it's infecting the children.
Somebody spray painted "I want my MTV" on the side of the building of the cable company.
Where are y'all from again? Where did y'all grow up?
Mansfield, Pennsylvania, Jeff and I did.
Okay. So Jeff, where are you from, Steph? You're from Georgia, right?
Half from Detroit, half from Harts Creek, West Virginia.
Good God, that's some...
And I'm from Knoxville, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Nashville, God bless Tennessee, but only people look at Nashville, maybe Chattanooga. Nobody gets I'll tell you, Stephanie, nobody wants to be from either city you're from. West Virginia, I feel like everybody's all like waterheads.
And, they are. Born there.
Yeah, and then Detroit, no offense. I mean,
oh, how dare you? Don't, Steve, I don't care who you are. Don't you dare. I put on for my city.
It's just not a safe city. I don't think I want to live there. I'm just telling you.
That's fine.
Well, you're not there, are you? Are you there now?
No,
I'm here. I'm in Snellville. I'm like right down the road from one of your old gigs, that bar you used to.
God.
Over on 78.
East Side Station.
Yeah.
Didn't we do a Super Bowl party there?
We did, and I was there literally 2 months ago, and he wants to do a gig for me just to put money in my pocket. I'm like, hell yeah, I'll take it.
Nice.
Now, I love Glenn. Eastside Station is the one bar that is still a 90s bar, which is what Buckhead was doing all in the 90s, and he still does it. And that guy has the best lasers, and he's probably got $120,000 worth of equipment in there as far as lasers and steam and everything it shoots down and glitter machines, whatever. I mean, it's a hell race.
Great karaoke night. I saw the guy do Journey there, do Steve Perry there one night. It could have gave the dude that's doing it now a run for his money. He was so good.
If he's taller, I'm all for it. I'm frustrated. I hate a short lead singer. It's killing me.
All right, well, I got a couple more questions here. We got a three-way tie right now, so we need to break this up.
All right, let's break the tie.
We all know Tawny Kitaen appeared in several Whitesnake videos in the 1980s.
Mm.
But what other band used her in some of their videos?
Oh, shoot.
Oh, geez.
Was it L.A. Guns, Winger, or Rat?
Wasn't Kip, wasn't Rat. It's got to be L.A. Guns, Steve.
No, Steve, you're wrong.
Rat was it? Was it Rat?
Not Rat.
No.
Milton Berle's in a Rat video.
Is somebody going to say their name and guess?
Tim.
Tim, what?
Rat.
It is Rat.
Okay.
It is Rat. She was in Lay It Down and More. Yeah, and Back for More.
All right, I will tell you the greatest video on MTV in history is not Journey, which pains me to say, it's not Def Leppard, it's Rat. And Nobody Rides for Free. If you ever watch that video for Point Break, it's the movie that they play in Point Break when the movie ends. Yeah. But that video, they're on the beach in California, and they got these large white tapestries or whatever, and it's on fire. To me, it is the greatest video in the history of MTV.
I'll check that out. Hey, real quick, the remake of Point Break, yay or nay?
Yay.
You liked it. I didn't like it.
Loved it. I loved it. I thought the dude was cool. It was just the whole, all the actors and the deaths, the way it went down and the surfing. I thought it was cool.
Well, Tim so far won, but let me give one last chance for anybody could win. This will trump everybody. So if you get the answer to this, then it doesn't matter that Tim's got two.
I will tell you, this is from watching podcasts and having one myself, this is a great podcast.
Thank you, dude.
Thanks, Steve. Well, we're hoping you have a good time. We have a good time on here, right, guys? Yeah. All right, to win it all. What video did Def Leppard's photograph beat out for MTV's Most Requested? What video did Def Leppard's photograph beat out as MTV's Most Requested?
And a great song, Pyromania, to me, their greatest album. I'm glad you brought that up for sure.
Did anybody know the video that they beat?
Well, what are the
there's no answer.
The choices. No.
There's no choices.
You're Dustin.
Yeah.
Beat it.
Yes, Dustin. It was Dustin, the dark horse. He won the whole thing.
Do you have a laptop that you have access to, or did you know?
No, I just know that Stephanie likes to make trick questions, and the word beat out sounded funny coming out of her mouth. So I was like, that's probably the answer.
Well, yeah, I don't know you that well.
Well, that is true. I like a pun. I'm all about that. So,
So guys, excuse me for 1 second, please. Hi, Paul Stanley here from the band Kiss. I want to let you know that Atlanta Pizza in Euro is the sponsor, one of the sponsors of Radio Labyrinth. But I got to tell everybody that Mike Hall really loves you. Please join Atlanta Pizza in Euro.
Out of my way. You don't know how to read it. He doesn't know how to read it. He doesn't have any energy. Hi, John Hannity here for Atlanta Pizza and Euro, the longtime sponsor, anyway, of Radio Labyrinth. How you doing, Southside Steve? Remember me?
Yes, I do.
You ever eat pizza at Atlanta Pizza and Euro in Conyers, Georgia? It's fantastic.
Of course I had a slice. I've had a slice anywhere I can get it.
Damn good. Damn good pizza. Now listen, they're heading into spring with 16 draft beer taps available and over 40 other beers to choose from in bottles and cans. Now, they have a strong focus on local Georgia and Southeast craft breweries. They've been serving the best freshly made Greek and Italian specialties around in an atmosphere, an authentic retro dive pizza place with a come-as-you-are family-friendly atmosphere. Now, I don't know if they can sell liquor there, but if they do, you got to get your bourbon in there. Dine-in and takeout is available. Limited delivery is also available via Slice, DoorDash, Grubhub, and Uber Eats. Anyway, hey, if you're a business or a corporate client who's looking to book a food truck for your next private event or catered luncheon, or if your QAnon group is getting together to have a meeting about stupid stuff, anyway, please contact Mike Hall. If you're in QAnon, don't go there. Go next door to the firehouse. Please contact Mike Hall at Atlanta Pizza and Euro by calling 770-483-6228. Open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday, 11 to 9. Saturday, 12 to 9. Sunday, close. And I learned how to do these commercials by watching Southside Steve at 96 Rock.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. A fantastic endorser. I'll take that. And I got to tell you, just like me, you don't read scripts. You just talk from the heart. And that was brilliant.
Thank you.
There's no way. There's no way that was read. That was beautiful.
Well,
have it. You know, I did Sean Hannity the other day on the show, and I think it went over Eric's head, or he didn't recognize the reference. But I said, I'll run away from him like I'm running away from Kimmer.
Oh.
Kimmer was going to kick his ass. Were you there when that happened?
Yes. Oh, I wasn't. I know the story. I know the story. That's awesome. Kimmer will throw a punch. People don't realize there was what was it? It was maybe it was 4th of July or something. There were Vietnam vets and he was there in uniform. Somebody spit on him. Uh-huh. And Kimmer punched the dude. And we had him on. It was 2005 and it was Southside and Rhodes on 96 Rock. Yeah. And he came in and we talked to him about it. And that dude punched a dude. I was like, damn.
Kimmer was. And he's a funny and a good radio guy. I hope he's still working. Steve.
He is. He is. He's a strong Marine. He's good.
There's a million things more we could talk about. But to me, this is real exciting. And I hope, again, guys, I'm sorry I dominated it. But it's just been so long. And I'm really glad that you did this. I feel like now we could approach each other again. Not that we couldn't, but this really means to me. I'm glad you came.
If I would have saw you in public, I would have come up to you it wouldn't have been a handshake. It would have been a hug.
Yeah.
I always loved you. I always knew that you were a great talent. I always loved having you on the show. Everybody can have a moment. The words that you wrote to me, which I've never talked to anybody about in your email, were appreciative. And it sometimes just takes time. It was a little bit of a rug pull. And then, and I've dealt with a lot of rug pulls. The best thing people can do is just be straight up. And I'm glad for your success. I'm glad for the talent that you work with on WSB. I think you guys are fantastic. I honestly, I listen to the show every day riding home after doing mornings. Before I was moved afternoon, done purposely to kill Rock 100.5. And that's the problem. And I'm not going to lie to listeners. The station, I think this plan of switching to 99X was 6 to 9 months.
Oh, yeah. You don't do that. You don't just go, hey, we're going to do this.
No, in the making. And it was an individual that made the call that ran the show. And it's what he wanted. And I have no issues with him. I have no issues. I'm thankful for what I did. I love everybody in that damn building. And the last thing I want to do is see sales reps lose clients or it not work. But I do think that Rock 100.5 will be doing something else in a year. And the question is it a sell of a station or do you do something else? I don't know that this will work. And I'm not being hateful. I just don't think so. I think Rock 100.5 would have worked. I think this town had room for two radio stations. You got a great classic rock station with 97.1 The River. Mm-hmm. They're great with their music. A lot of people love that. Everybody, all the teachers at my son's school are like, tell me you're going to work for The River. I mean, everybody loves The River, and I love people over there. I worked with Katie Colley for years. I worked with English Nick, Deborah Green. You know, I love everybody over there, and it's a great deal, you know, but I thought there was room for two rock stations. Huh?
And the music's good, too.
Yeah, the music's great. I listened to it, and, always have. I thought we were playing some cool new music, but I don't know. I mean, you know, I did Ghost. I didn't know I did. But I'm a type of guy that, you know, being 57 and Tim, I don't really know, I'm 2 weeks from 58, and I have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Yeah, but it is so weird. I got to exercise again because it's getting tough to pick them up.
Dude, I know. It's, you know what? It's a workout when the 30 pounds just keep lifting.
Yep.
And your arms will get bigger. But, you know, when I look at the talent in this city, I just think Atlanta, it's the city I know, the city I love. And I think that the rock station, there's only one rock station, and I'm a rock guy over an alternative guy, even though, don't get me wrong, I heard Nick Kershaw, and I love it. I loved alternative music back in the day, but I only worked for rock, and that's my loyalty. And I love the shirt you're wearing, and I loved Rock 100.5, and I got to tell you, it was my pleasure. And I feel like I'm honored that y'all even asked me on your show. So I thought it was really cool. So there's no doubt I was going to do it, and I appreciate it.
All right, man. I love you very much. Thank you so much. Remember that one time I awkwardly said it? Well, this time I'm not being awkward. Yeah, Come On Bourbon. Where can people find it? Where can people get the update on it and get all the info?
Well, I tell you, all you got to do, and I tell people this all the time, they're like, where can I buy it? It's always coming out at a different location as far as a restaurant or a liquor store. All you have to do is go to spiritsusa.com. It's that easy. Spiritsusa.com. Click on me and it'll show all the locations where it's available. And it's always available in Cumming, Georgia, which is where we are. We're local. This is where we tweak it. And it's 6 months. It's been glorious for me just to have my name on a bottle. Jesse James Dupree, which is a brother of mine, did his thing. And I think, Tim, I'll be honest with you, having this bourbon is probably the coolest thing ever for me, and I dig it.
Absolutely. I think I would love a free bottle one of these days.
This is yours if I see you. Send me your address, and I will mail. Matter of fact, every one of you deserve a free bundle, and I can make that happen.
I'll just come get it. I don't want you to mail it. You know, you're not working right now. That's a lot of postage, but...
But I want to thank all of you, and Jeff, I, again, good seeing you, and Stephanie... You were in studio, and honey, I hate it. Whatever happened. You know what? Don't think for a second you weren't hot. We wouldn't have had you in if you weren't. And
that wasn't the point. The whole reason I was on was because I wasn't supposed to be dumb. I was trying to show that I was smart. But
you're a smart girl with big breasts, and that's okay. And it's Dustin, right?
Yes.
I like you. I like the haircut, but your background sucks. That's all.
Better than mine. Look at the shit on the wall.
Dude, look at me. I've got a hole in my wall right there because I've got a Burt Reynolds signed picture that I haven't framed yet, and that's where it's going to go.
You'll like this. The guy who does Sly drew this. It's one of his original cartoons. He does a daily cartoon on this day. And you know, that's, of course, Hans Gruber.
Oh, yeah. He's related to me. Do you realize that my cousin, again, I joked about Dr. William Rickman, but it's true.
You're related to Alan Rickman?
I'm related to Alan, and I know exactly what it is. I am his eighth cousin.
Wow.
Eighth generation's down. My dad's sister's son did all the work, and he figured it out, and he's got it posted on his I should post it as well, but it shows the whole lineage to where we are. But he's my eighth cousin.
It's too bad he's not alive. He could teach you occlumency. I know you don't want it. Hey, real quick before you go, the two-year-old, what's his favorite TV show?
All right, the two-year-old is 100% into Blaze and the Monster Machines. Mm-hmm. And that's his number one for sure. And Brooks is killing me because he's into what's the dudes with the square heads and everybody, they build stuff and everything's square.
Does he play, what's that
Minecraft?
Game? Minecraft.
Minecraft. He is all into Minecraft. He watches the videos and he plays the game, and it's driving me nuts. I got a Minecraft kit on my hands, and then the other one's blazing the monster machines.
Wouldn't that be Steve's nightmare to have a nerd?
Oh, Gilbert's is Gilbert. Yeah, and Steph makes a good point. You're going to have a bookworm, but that's okay. Make a lot of money. Gil likes cars. Gil's favorite show is the Car Patrol of Car City. So he wakes up in the morning, he looks at me, not hello, daddy. It's cars? Cars?
Cars?
Cars.
Oh, he's not quite two, is he?
He'll be two on May 26th. So that's all right. Yeah. But
my kid's May 4th, and I did not name him after a Star Wars character. Brooks, Brooks is 6th, and Parker's June 18th, and he'll be 3. And it's crazy, man. It goes fast. But I've been, you know, due to the pandemic and unemployment, I have been able to be around a lot. So it's been cool.
It's fun, isn't it? Guess who Gilbert shares a birthday with?
Who?
Larry and Eric.
Oh, my
God. He was born on May 26th, so he shares their birthday with
him. Was it a vaginal birth?
I'm not going to get into heavy detail.
No, I just want to know.
There was this German woman who, I was just shocked by the whole thing, just all the stuff she was going through, and the German nurse looked at me and she goes, stand up and look at your son. Steve, thank you so much. I'll let you put your boys to bed, man. And hopefully we can talk again soon. And let me know where you land, man, because everybody's rooting for you. I certainly am.
No, thank you. And to all of you and to the Radio Labyrinth, I salute you and I give you a big yeah, come on.
Hey, do you have a commercial or residential construction printing need? Well, guess what? I have a phone number for you and an email address. What are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens in Athens, Georgia since 2005. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com. LDI has been sponsoring Radio Labyrinth for a long time, and we appreciate it very much. Jeff, tell people what Repro Printing is.
They print like big stuff, like your blueprints and that kind of stuff.
So stuff that you need if you're building a building, and it's really cool. So check them out. And thank you guys again for supporting us for so long.
Guys, what'd you think? That was a lot of fun having Steve on.
It was so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Steph, you know, you had to expect it. I think he was...
Oh, come on, man. Come
he was having fun. He was having fun. That was a great time, man. It's been so long since I've spoken to him. I'm glad that you guys got to share that with me, and I hope the audience likes it as well. I'm sure they will, especially in Atlanta market. And if you've been a fan of the regular guys in Atlanta radio in general, I hope you appreciated that. And
we've been talking about getting Steve on here forever since we started doing this show, and it's good to finally get him.
Next thing to do is to get the three of them together in it, but that will be if we ever have a studio again, which I think is a lot of fun. So guys, make sure that you rate and review us on Spotify. Make sure you rate and review us on iTunes. If you're following us and watching on the YouTube channel, like it, subscribe, and turn on the alerts so you know when it's coming. And before we go, Steph, what's the latest with the Barkville Doggies?
Oh, this Sunday, it's the first, well, the one and only Caffeine and Octane event of the month. So if you're out in the Kennesaw area or you just want to make the trek out, please come out and see us at the Caffeine and Octane show this Sunday in Kennesaw somewhere. But just look it up. I'm not exactly sure where it is, but...
Don't they do these at the mall?
No, it used to be at Perimeter Mall. I'm not sure. I haven't been. I gotta be honest with you guys. I've been promoting them, but I have not been. It's in Kennesaw. But I know that a lot of people do go. Tim Allen's been. But anyway, yeah. So we'll be there.
Tim Allen kicks ass. Hey, you guys need a cat, you know who to look up. Just ask, hey, Tim, I need a cat. I got a plenty of.
Right.
All right. So until next time, please remember to keep it canon.
Yeah, come on.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.